Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I am pleased to bring to you the fourth and fifth Mishnah in the second chapter of Masechet Mishnayot, Masechet Bava Metzia for OU Radio. Matzah b'chanut hari ilu shelo. If one found an item, a lost item in a store, then it belongs to the finder, that is, finder's keepers. Now, to understand this Mishnah, one has to imagine the kind of store that you might see in Machane Yehuda. I think you could also picture a modern eyeglass store. So imagine that you walk into an eyeglass store, there's an entrance, and then you've got a whole kind of broad area with various display cases, and you could walk around that area and do shopping. Then there's a desk, and on the desk is a tiller, a cash register, or a credit card machine, behind which the owner of the store resides and actually does the business. So one walks into the customer area of the store, and one finds an item in the customer area of the store. It belongs to him. Now, the item clearly doesn't have a siman, an identifiable characteristic. So imagine an earring, a pearl earring, or nondiscreet pearl earring, or imagine a nondiscreet ring, or change, or a $100 bill that had no mark on it. Now, it clearly does not have this characteristic, because if it did, then one would have to publicize the find, pretty much no matter where one found it, except in those special cases where it was buried up for a long period of time, as we saw in the previous Mishnayot. So what is the Mishnah adding here? Since the item does not have a siman, so it should clearly belong to the one who found it, finders keepers. So what the Mishnah is saying is that if you walk into this kind of store, you might come to the conclusion that the store itself is the siman. That is, the store itself is an identifiable characteristic. So imagine, let's say, somebody who walked into a eyeglass store and dropped there and didn't notice that they dropped a simple pearl earring. And then they're walking around in the mall, and they, get themselves some Starbucks coffee or whatever it is, and they go feel the earring, and the earring's not there. So they're like, oh no, I lost my earring, but I think I know where I might have found it. Let me go back to the eyeglass store where I was trying on eyeglasses. Maybe it fell there. So you might think that since a person can identify the location, since it's distinctive, therefore the item itself needs to be treated as Hashavat Avedah, and it must be kept and publicized. It does not become finders keepers. The Mishnah comes to tell you that that is not true. Why? Because so many people come into the store and go out of the store, and there's this constant movement around, so there's no way really to make a positive identification. It could have been anybody who walked into the store and lost a non-distinctive pearl earring, and it's impossible to say that that it belongs to the person who claims it. However, Bein HaTeva V'Lachen Vani, Shelchan Vani, if the item was found between the shopkeeper's tiller and the cash register, the Teva, and the shopkeeper himself, that is where they're standing, then the item belongs to the shopkeeper, and if you happen to find it there, you have to return it to the owner of the store, to the shopkeeper. Lifnei shulchani, hari elu shelo. Ben hakisei lishvila shulchani, hari elu shulchani. So it's a similar case, but a bit different. The shulchani is a money changer. So what you have is the shulchani always sits at a desk. That desk is the place where he exchanges coins. You come in and you trade coins for various values. So coins, as we've stated before, have no identifiable characteristic. So essentially, if coins are found in front of the desk, then whoever finds it gets to keep it. However, if the coins are found between the money changers and the chair upon which he sits, then those coins you have to assume they fell from the money changer himself. They belong to the money changer. From the wording in the Mishnah, it would seem that, for instance, if there's an area behind the chair, that the only territory that really belongs to the money changer is between the table he's sitting at and does his business and the chair that he's, or the table that's in front of him where he does his exchanges, and the chair. If it's behind the chair, that would also be finders keepers. He really has a very short, small area of possession of ownership of seemingly lost items. Finally, the Mishnah says, "Alokeach peirot mechaviro." Oh, sheshalach lochaviro peirot umatza bahem ma'ot hari elu shelo v'im hayu tsururim notel umachris. So the next case is also a store-based case, and as follows: if one bought produce directly from a friend, now the chabero doesn't just mean any friend, it means a friend who is who sells produce, a guy who runs a makolet, say. Or if the makolet had it delivered, that is if you, I don't know, called in an order and they had it shipped out to your house. Now, what apparently happens is the purchaser gets the goods to his house, or he comes home from the trip to the makolet, to the bodega, to the grocery store, and he starts putting away his food, and he finds money in the amongst the packages of produce. So essentially, whatever he finds, that he gets to keep it. Money, as we said, has no identifiable characteristic, and therefore he gets to keep it. Now, if the coins are tied up, then as we stated before, that tie becomes a identifiable characteristic, and therefore you would have to hold on to it and publicize it and see whether an owner will say, oh yeah, I tied up $5.70 using blue thread or whatever it is. Now, the commentaries point out that this Mishnah really is specifically talking about a person where the makola person is purchasing his produce wholesale, let's say, from many, many farmers or locations or produce makers, and then selling them kind of retail out to the end user customer. However, if you had a farmer that was selling all of their own goods and you walked home after purchasing their goods and you found money, then obviously since all the produce is coming from that one, the seller is the produce supplier. Therefore, there's no question that the money there belongs to the seller / farmer, and you would have to return those items. Now we continue on to Mishnah Hay, the fifth Mishnah. And essentially, the fifth Mishnah is sort of like it's very legalistic. It's coming to define the terms of Hashavat Avedah. And what it does essentially is called darshaning. It's learning out from a unique characteristic of the way the language appears in the Torah. So the Torah's laws of Hashavat Avedah are based on a set of verses in Devarim chapter 22. And there in verse 3, it actually uses some seemingly redundant language. It says, so shall you do, meaning you have to keep it and you have to look for the owner. For his donkey, that is the person who lost it, so shall you do for his cloak, a simla, which is a cloak or some kind of upper garment, and so shall you do for all your brother's lost items. So you can see that once you say all your brother's lost items, what do I need to single out the simla for? The simla comes under the category of all lost items. So the Mishnah says, afa simla ita b'chol kol eile lami atzata. So if simla is part of all of those items, why does the Torah need to specifically say simla? So the Mishnah concludes lahakish eleha, meaning it creates a template. That is, it's not specifically a simla, which is interesting here, but it's the characteristics of a simla, and that becomes a template for all other items which are equivalent, which have equivalent characteristics. And what are those characteristics? Lomar lecha. Ma simla miyuchedet sheyesh ba simanim v'yesh la tovim. Af kol davar sheyesh bo simanim v'yesh lo tovim chayav lahachri. So there are two important factors to a simla, and you need those two factors for any other item in order for it to be the kind of item that you really need to keep rather than play finders keepers. So, just like a garment is distinctive in the fact that it has identifiable characteristics, but not only that, its owner will look for it once they find out that they've lost it rather than just giving up hope, so too the Mishnah decides that any other item which has those same characteristics, meaning it has identifiable characteristics and one who lost is likely to search for it, one must advertise for the item, chayav lahachriz, in an attempt to find the owner. And the implication here, by the way, is noted by the Rambam, not everybody, but the Rambam, is he says even if something has an identifiable characteristic, if the item is very insignificant, like imagine, I don't know, a ring that you might find in a cereal box. So, yeah, it's very nice. It actually has an identifiable characteristic. You may have written your name on the ring, on the plastic ring. But honestly, if you lose it, you're more likely to say, oh, well, easy come, easy go, rather than start running after it, trying to find a plastic ring that you found in a Cheerios box. So even though the item has an identifiable characteristic, since it doesn't have pursuers, people who are looking for it, then that item can be kept as well. So says the Rambam, and that certainly seems to be the implication of the Mishnah.